From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Robert Mugabe, the longest-serving African leader, has resigned, ending nearly 40 years of power as impeachment proceedings had opened in Parliament. The resignations met with celebrations in the street. The 93-year-old Mr. Mugabe clung to power for a week after a military takeover and the ruling ZANU-PF party stripped him of the party leadership. The reaction was electric.
Zimbabweans would want something that is well organized. No corruption, no stealing, no cheating, and no dictatorship in the country. This is what we are looking at.
Mr. Mugabe's sacked Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa is expected to be sworn in as president as early as Wednesday. If Mr. Mugabe and his family leave Zimbabwe, where might they go? Joy Mabenge is with the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition.
The best for Mugabe is to go to the Far East. He has always gone to the Far East. You know, he goes to Malaysia, he goes to Singapore. It is rumored that he has investments there. There are less Zimbabweans there and not so many people who care.
Mr. Mugabe faced charges in impeachment of flouting the rule of law, being a source of instability, and presiding over the country's economic decline. The U.S. called his departure a historic opportunity for the country. The U.S. Tuesday slapped new sanctions on 13 Chinese and North Korean organizations accused of enabling the North Korean regime as it pursues nuclear and missile capability. The action was announced after President Donald Trump put Pyongyang back on a list of state sponsors of terrorism. Among the groups hit are three Chinese companies the Treasury Department determined combined did more than $750 million in trade over 5 years. This is VOA News. The search for a missing Argentine submarine with a crew of 44 continues. There's growing concern the crew, including the first female officer, is running low on oxygen after the vessel disappeared last Wednesday after reporting an electrical malfunction. Navy spokesman Gabriel Galeazzi said the level of oxygen is a matter of constant concern. He also said weather conditions have improved as an international air and sea search and rescue operations continue. The U.S. Defense Department said Tuesday more than 100 Islamist militants were killed in an airstrike in Somalia targeting al-Qaeda-linked al-Shabaab fighters. The Pentagon said the strike was carried out at a jihadist camp about 200 kilometers northwest of Mogadishu. The U.S. warned Tuesday Americans traveling to Saudi Arabia should be aware of the risk of ballistic missile strikes from Yemen. The government issued a new travel warning following an earlier Houthi rebel missile launch intercepted by Riyadh. Meanwhile, the U.S. said it wants the Palestine Liberation Organization to keep its Washington office open. The U.S. could close that office following allegations. Palestinian officials have made statements that are construed as targeting Israelis for alleged crimes to be taken up by the International Criminal Court. Heather Nauert is a U.S. spokesperson.
The secretary concluded that the factual record, in particular certain statements made by Palestinian leaders about the ICC, this I'm referring to comments that were made at the United Nations, did not permit the secretary to make a factual certification that was required by that statute. Mm-hmm. So he took a very technical look at this and determined that the PLO had not complied with the conditions that were set by Congress.
The PLO office remains for now open. Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri is back in Lebanon for the first time since announcing his resignation. That announcement made November 4 from Saudi Arabia thrust the tiny country into the forefront of the battle between the Sunni Muslim Saudi Arabia and Shia Muslim Iran. Speaking Tuesday in Egypt, Mr. Hariri said he spoke with his Egyptian hosts about Lebanon's stability and the country to stay out of regional conflict. Lebanon's President Michel Aoun has refused to accept Mr. Hariri's resignation until he presents it in person. German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier Tuesday held talks with party leaders from the Greens and Free Democrats in an effort to salvage coalition efforts by Chancellor Angela Merkel after those talks failed on Sunday. If he is unable to help forge a new coalition, the former foreign minister can call snap elections. Venezuelan authorities detained the acting president of Citgo and several other executives of the state-owned oil company's U.S. subsidiary on corruption charges. They've been implicated in a multi-billion dollar embezzlement scheme stemming from a bond refinancing. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Wednesday, November 22nd, and here are some of the stories we are covering. The world reacts to the resignation of Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe.
We are in great celebrations here in Zimbabwe. Mugabe has resigned. But what is important now is then what after Mugabe? We need to make sure that we are not going to make the same mistake that we made.
That's Abigail Mumpambi of the hashtag This Constitution, Our Constitution in Zimbabwe. We have more reaction from U.S. and Britain diaspora. One person was killed Tuesday in Guinea-Conakry as a teacher strike enters its second week. And a South African Development Community SADC standby force has arrived in Lesotho.
Our expectation or our hope is that the SADC standby force will simply be here in Lesotho to help to stabilize the situation in Lesotho as we move forward with the first stages of the reform process.
Joan Molapo is Lesotho's Minister of Communication, Science and Technology. And girls' school enrollment is improving in South Sudan due to outside funding. But does it improve girls' learning? Those stories, plus our listener of the day, are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The streets of Zimbabwe's capital Harare erupted in celebration Tuesday after President Robert Mugabe resigned, ending 37 years in power. His former Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa will be sworn in as president today, Wednesday, or tomorrow, Thursday, according to top officials of the ruling ZANU-PF party. Mnangagwa fled the country after he was abruptly fired on November 6. Mr. Mugabe was often criticized for human rights abuses that included the beatings, torture, and killings of his political opponents. The U.S. Embassy in Zimbabwe called Tuesday a historic moment for Zimbabwe and said the country must now move towards free elections in which Zimbabweans would choose their own leaders. British Prime Minister Theresa May said in a statement that Mugabe's resignation gives Zimbabwe the opportunity to pursue a path free of oppression. Here is a sample of some of the reactions from Zimbabwe.
Great celebrations here in Zimbabwe, looking at the decision and the move that have just come to us right now. Mugabe has resigned. But what is important now is then what after Mugabe? Remember, Mugabe had a system, issues of reforms, issues of IPA and POSA going forward. We need to make sure that we are not going to make the same mistake that we made of making Mugabe feel like this country was like a kitchen. To an extent that even his wife was now treating us like people in her kitchen. So going forward, we need to put our eyes straight back on the ball going forward and take our country forward. I'm very confident that from this angle, we can take Zimbabwe forward.
This is a momentous and historic occasion in our country today. What we have set out as young people, in particular through the Tajamuka movement, that President Mugabe must go. It has been our long-held view that President Mugabe is the major problem in our country. And today, finally, President Mugabe has agreed to step down. And I'm very happy. I want to say congratulations to the people of Zimbabwe and indeed the region and the entire world for standing with the people of Zimbabwe throughout the stubbornness of President Mugabe. And today, our country opens a new chapter of hope. And I hope that we don't lose our guard as we celebrate and let another despot come into play. It is at that moment where we must remain vigilant in fighting for the democracy and the constitutionalism that we have spoken about.
The reactions of some Harare residents to President Robert Mugabe's resignation Tuesday. We also have reactions to President Mugabe's resignation from the Zimbabwe diaspora in the United States and Britain, beginning with Savannah Matamumbe, a political activist in New York.
President Mugabe resigned. I have conflicted emotions right now because as much as I am so happy this is what we've been asking for a long time, I'm also sad for what transpired, for what has been and what should not have been. This is a man who worked hard for our liberation struggle during his younger years, and at 93, he has to be humiliated in this way. And for the lives that have been lost throughout this struggle, I'm so sad, I'm emotional. And for the young generation that lost a lot, their hopes and aspirations had just been on hold for a long time. So I'm very conflicted. Instead of celebrating right now, it's just hitting me that all these things should never have had to happen.
Of course, you've been very vocal about what has been happening. You've been front and center sometimes in the protests that have taken place around the country, namely in New York. So do you feel that maybe you contributed to what happened today?
Well, you know what? I feel that as a citizen, I said what I needed to say, and I feel that if more of us continue to voice out and not be afraid, then we will never be at the spot that we found ourselves at. So I am just right now more grateful that a lot of people came out and they actually now feel that they're free. They can actually speak out. And I hope this continues because we have a long way to go. This is not the end. It's just a beginning. We have just begun to unplug and go into the deeper issue that we have. It's not going to end today.
So what are your expectations? What are you hoping?
Okay, what I'm hoping for, a leadership that actually listens to people, a leadership that is there for the people. And we can only begin that by being accountable. I'm beginning to understand that without accountability, there is nothing that we can do in this world. Even in our nation, even us as Zimbabweans, we have to be accountable. So it's not just going to be a leadership issue. It's going to be about all of us as Zimbabweans. Are we accountable, even in the neighborhoods that we live? Are you throwing a piece of paper on the ground? Would you expect it to pick it up? Simple things like that will now begin to unlock our nation as we move forward. It's not a responsibility for one person. Because if we go back to what ZANU-PF and Robert Mugabe was asking us to do, to have one center of power, then we have a problem. We need to decentralize and distribute all responsibilities to all citizens so we can move forward knowing kuti chinhu chacho ndechedutese, not just a few people.
My name is Nick Mara. I'm in Philadelphia, USA, and I'm a human rights activist based here.
So what are your thoughts today on the resignation of President Mugabe? Can you believe it?
Honestly, I can't believe it. And it is just another day that we as Zimbabweans never thought it could come because it has been so long. We are just in a jubilation that I cannot express and I cannot explain.
If you're expressing or feeling jubilation, if you're expressing or feeling sadness, what are your reasons?
The jubilation is we have been under yoke for too long of a time that I've seen the suffering. Though I've been away, but a couple of times I've been around Africa, I've seen the suffering of the people. And even here in the diaspora, I can see, I can feel, I can hear people suffering for supporting the people back home. So the stage that we have just been given, we are just having a hope that anything can happen in this world. And I hope the people of Zimbabwe are going to be together and move one step at a time until we get there.
The reactions to President Robert Mugabe's resignation from some diaspora Zimbabweans in the United States. They spoke with Undimiyake Mwakelele of VOA's Studio 7 Zimbabwe program. For some Zimbabwe diaspora, the resignation of Robert Mugabe could help bring economic development to Zimbabwe. But as we hear from reporter Mugumi Davis Rakarinch in Kampala, Uganda, one analyst, Tamunka Chirimambowa, says a mere change of leadership will not warrant a political change in Zimbabwe.
Godwin Chireka, who lives in Johannesburg, South Africa, says he was excited to hear the news of the resignation of the 93-year-old president.
We are very ecstatic. We are very happy because of the news that we've just heard. Though it's a small step, but it's a small step in the right direction. I think the joy comes from the fact that we are now happy to start rebuilding our country.
Chireka has been in South Africa since 2009 and is an educationist. He says he left his country simply because he could not make ends meet due to Zimbabwe's bad economic situation. There is an estimated 2 million Zimbabweans living in South Africa. Farai Chinangule, another Zimbabwean who lives in South Africa, says he too was glad to know his country was getting a new leadership.
We expect the formation of government of national unity so that we don't rely upon one political party. Because this is not about party politics. This is about the economy of Zimbabwe. Whether a person is MDC, ZANU-PF, or whichever party, the leaders who have the potential to sit down and share, discuss, and come up with viable policies that can open our economy and attract investment are the ones that we are looking for now.
But Professor Tamuka Chirimambowa, who teaches political economy, says people should not be overjoyed by a mere change of leadership.
There was celebration and jubilant scenes in Zimbabwe where people say we are free at last, independence has come, because Mugabe had become the face of the ZANU-PF dictatorship or oppression by ZANU-PF. But for someone like me, I would always love to caution to the wind, because what we have seen is the departure of Mugabe as a person, but we still have Mugabeism.
Chirimambowa says there is some hope something good could come out of Mugabe's resignation.
I think in Zimbabwe what they should simply do is to prepare another 2 to 3 decades of ZANU-PF rule, a rejuvenated ZANU-PF, and actually what they are going to see is, authoritarian state capitalism, whereby the economy is going to be liberalized. They'll try to liberalize the economy, give conditions to business. But in terms of civil rights and liberties, they're actually going to be living under a dictator.
The Mugabe government has been criticized for the country's poor economic situation. But the government too often blames the sanctions imposed on the economy by the European Union and the United States. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Ruakarinj.
Today's Wednesday, November 22nd, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Boaty in Washington. Daybreak Africa time is 17 minutes past the hour. A standby force from the Southern African Development Community, SADC, arrived in Lesotho this week to assist the Lesotho Defense Force manage the security impasse brought about following the 2017 fatal shooting of the army chief by his subordinates. Joan Molapo is Lesotho's Minister of Communication, Science and Technology. He says the government of Prime Minister Thomas Tabani hopes the SADC standby force will help stabilize the situation in Lesotho as the country moves forward with the first stages of the reform process.
Our expectation or our hope is that the SADC standby force will simply be here in Lesotho to help to stabilize the situation in Lesotho as we move forward with the first stages of the reform process. That is really the role that we envisage for them. We do not hope that they will be involved in anything at an operational level. Just their presence here, we think, is an important part of achieving our objective.
What is the objective of your government?
The objective of our government is, firstly, to complete the implementation of the SADC recommendation, and that is that the investigations into those people who were allegedly involved in the death of Lieutenant General Mahao be brought to book. Members of the military who are involved in criminal activities will also be arrested and that process taken to its natural conclusion. And then the country gets on to the path of genuine reform of the constitution and the other institutions that we feel need to be strengthened.
The Lesotho military has been involved in many things in recent past. Now, how independent is your military in terms of protecting the nation?
Our view of the military is that the military should be a force that's under civilian control. Unfortunately, there are elements in our country that have encouraged the military to believe that they can operate via an independent mandate. What we see as part of this product deployment is helping us to inculcate a culture of respect for civilian authority. And that is what we ultimately hope will come out of this, is that, one, an interaction with a force that adheres to those principles of civilian oversight will help, but it will also help us to identify those elements within the Lesotho Defense Force who might have bought into the idea of the military having a role outside of civilian control.
The SADC forces were supposed to be at least 1,200 troops, were reduced to 258. Who's footing the bill?
The normal practice within SADC, because this is not the first time that SADC has deployed to any of the SADC member countries, is for all the 16 SADC member states to play a part in footing the bill. There is a ratio, depending on the relative sizes of our economy, that each nation makes a contribution to the SADC force. So there is a portion of it that Lesotho government will be paying, despite the fact that we are they're deployed here. We are a SADC member state, but all of the other 15 SADC member nations are making a contribution accordingly. Everybody is paying as per their share of the joint funding agreement.
So does your government expect that with the coming of the troops, that these military people who were involved in the last incident would be prosecuted?
We have already begun, even prior to the arrival of the force, to take action against certain members of the military for suspected crimes. The process will continue and will accelerate now with the presence of the SADC force here in Lesotho. At the end of the day, we want to arrest anybody who is in the military who has been implicated in any form of criminal activity.
Joanne Molapo is Lesotho's Minister of Communication, Science and Technology. You're speaking with me from the capital, Maseru. One person was killed Tuesday in Guinea-Conakry as a teacher strike entered its second week. The teachers are demanding increases in their salaries from $200 a month to about $800 and also improvement in education standards. Thousands of school children are out of school in support of their teachers. The government has arrested a number of teachers for leading what the government called an illegal strike. Mamadou Jean Baldé is editor-in-chief of the Independent and Democrat News papers. He says there is no sign of negotiation, particularly as President Alpha Conde is out of the country in Paris, France.
One person has been killed by police during demonstration in Conakry. Yesterday also, one school boy has been killed also by the policemen. Teachers are continuing their strike. So no school since 2 weeks now.
The government said that the teachers' strike is illegal. What are the teachers striking for? Why are they on strike?
They are demanding the complete implementation, a wage increase agreement made between the government and the trade union in September 2016. But you have to know that this strike is not supported by all members of the trade union. It's why the government says that the strike is illegal.
Can you give us an idea exactly how much a teacher in Guinea make for a salary? How much do they make?
At primary to secondary school, about $100 to $200 for many of them. Say they want to be paid around 8 million Guinean francs, more than $800 by month. It's why they ask the government to pay them.
Now, is the government willing to pay that amount or?
They haven't started negotiating. The government asked them to come to negotiate, but four members of the trade union were arrested on Friday. On Friday, they jailed them, but yesterday, they free them, but negotiation hadn't been started since now. So the strike is going on. So they ask students to stay home.
So the students are not in school. How much impact is this whole strike having on the Guinean society as a whole? How much impact is it having?
The impact is great because every day there are demonstrations on the road. And the people are attacked by the bandits. Policemen also are fired. They are killed two persons, I say. Yesterday, one and more than 20 people have been already injured in that demonstration.
As you said, are they negotiating or they are not negotiating? How can this strike come to an end?
Negotiations haven't started now. So maybe tomorrow, but we don't know. Because, you know, Guinea, when the president is not in Guinea, all things are stopped. The president Alpha Conde is in France. So the people are waiting. Maybe the negotiation will start tomorrow, but the strike is going on.
Mamadou Jean Baldé is editor-in-chief of the Independent and Democrat newspapers of Guinea. He was speaking with me from the capital, Conakry. Education officials say school enrollment is improving in parts of South Sudan due to outside funding from various sources. Demos Silva Aurelio has more from Juba.
South Sudan education officials say a European Union project that provides $40 a month to primary teachers, a British funding program that provides more than 200,000 girls with money for school fees and supplies, and World Food Program a sponsored feeding program have all contributed to higher school enrollment. Education officials and representatives of aid agencies are meeting in Juba to review progress and setbacks in South Sudan's education sector over the past 4 years. Officials say despite the widespread displacement of hundreds of thousands of children due to continued fighting in the country, they are encouraged by efforts to improve learning. Under the Education in Emergency project for the past 3 years, donors have been providing funds that go directly to schools and students. School girls at Juba Girl 1 Primary School say they buy basic school supplies with the donor money they receive.
It's helped me a lot for buying a lot of things. If you need something to buy, you can buy, and so many things that you need to do.
It helped me coming to school. Can help us even for buying the uniform, bags, and the shoes, even the socks. Yeah, we are happy because they are giving us this money, because if it's not this money, many girls will not come to school.
Teacher Richard Bastin at Juba 1 Girls Primary School says his school has seen a big jump in girls' enrollment since the cash program was introduced.
Just for that time up to now, I can see there's a great improvement. Now, this year, the girls which are registered so far, they are 800 girls, beginning from primary 1 up to primary 8. Okay? There's a great improvement.
Teacher Alfred Angasi praised the Girls Education South Sudan, or GES program, for improving girls' enrollment, but says girls' performance in the classroom remains poor.
There is big enrollment this year compared to that of last year. By next year, I think their enrollment will increase, because every girl would want to get the money granted by GES. Girls, they don't perform. Despite that, they get the money for their requirements, performance remains as it is.
More than 200,000 girls across the country continue to receive cash payments through the Girls Education South Sudan project. Angasi says teachers are also motivated by the EU-funded project. Some 30,000 teachers benefited from the incentive. Representatives from UNICEF, UNESCO, EU, and USAID are attending the conference. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of African news. The streets of Zimbabwe's capital, Harare, erupted in celebration on Tuesday after President Robert Mugabe resigned, ending 37 years of power. His former vice president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, will be sworn in as president today, Wednesday, or tomorrow, Thursday. According to top officials of the ruling ZANU-PF party, Mnangagwa fled the country after he was abruptly fired on November 6. Mr. Mugabe was often criticized for human rights abuses that included the beatings, torture, and killings of his political opponents. The U.S. Embassy in Zimbabwe called Tuesday a historic moment for Zimbabwe and said the country must now move toward free elections in which Zimbabweans will choose their own leaders. And that's it for this Wednesday, November 22nd edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I'm James Butte in Washington, hoping you in Africa will have a very good Wednesday.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.